Begin the current daf Masechta Shabbos daf Kuf Chav Beis. We begin nine lines up from the top of the Yomim, where we continue with the following Mishnah. On the previous daf, we had a Mishnah that spoke about in relation to all the previous Mishnayos that was discussing about a fire on Shabbos. And the previous daf had a Mishnah that said that although we don't have to stop a non-Jew from putting out our fire on Shabbos, but we're not allowed to tell him to put it out. And that's based on the Issa D'Rabban and the Shavuos of Emir La'akim. We cannot tell a non-Jew to do something prohibited for us. Now, our Mishnah extends that one step further. That not only is it prohibited to tell a non-Jew to do a malacha that we ourselves are not allowed to do, we're not allowed to even have hana, direct pleasure, from an activity that's us to do on Shabbos that a guy does for us. As our Mishnah says, Nachu Shehidlik is aner. A non-Jew that lights a candle, that mishtamish la'ori Yisrael. So a Jew is allowed to have enjoyment from that candle because he lit it for himself. So he didn't do it for me, so I could have enough from the candle he lit. However, v'im bishvil Yisrael also, but if he did it for the Jew, then that's prohibited, that's issim d'rabbanim. That's included in the malacha, in the issim d'rabbanim of Emir La'akim, as Taisa says, because if we would allow him to have enough from something that the guy did for him, we're concerned that then he might come to tell the guy to do it for him, which would be the issim d'rabbanim of Emir La'akim. So together, under that rubric of Emir La'akim, we said not only is it prohibited to tell a non-Jew to do something for you, but even if he does it on his own volition, on his own, you're not allowed to even have enough from something that he did for you. That's the first case, the Mishnah says. Second case, the Mishnah says, is milimayim. If non-Jew fills up water from a pit in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, in the public domain, and he brings it up, which is haitzah, from Rosh Hashanah Rabbim to the Rosh Hashanah Yachid, he brings it into the private domain. But if he does it, lahashkas behemta, if he does it to give his own animals to drink, samashka achar v'yisrael, so then the Jew afterwards can go ahead and feed his animals with the same drink of water. Because again, he did it for himself, and there's nothing wrong with that water. V'imish v'yisrael also, but again, but if he did it because of the Jew, then that would be prohibited, again, because that's included in the Isra Hanav, Emir La'akim. If he's doing it for the Jew, then he's doing a malacha deraisa for you, and then you can't have enough. The third case, the Mishnah says, is asa nachri kevish lared b'yit. If the non-Jew made a ramp to go down, how they would make on these large ships that they would have to get down from the ship to dry land, so they made these ramps. So if a non-Jew made it to go down on Shabbos, Yerid Achar Yisrael, so after him, once he did it for himself, the Jew can go ahead and use it and come down. However, Mishvah Yisrael also, but if it was made because of the Jew, then it would be prohibited. As the Mishnah concludes with a story, Ma'isa b'Rabbi Gamliel was a Canaan. So he boy Misvina, once there was a story that Gamliel was coming with the sages on a ship, but also nachar kevish lared by, and the non-Jew made a ramp to go down it. But yard the bearing of the kingdom, and Ragulan Zakim came down because once he went down it, he did it for himself, then we can go ahead and use it. He didn't do a malacha for me. So the fact that he did it for himself, it says that it's permitted, we're allowed to use it on Shabbos. Now the Gemara asks, why do we have three different cases that are basically saying the same halacha, that when he does it for himself, then you could use it. When he's doing it for the Jew, then that's included in the malacha of Amir La'akim, of the Isidra Banim. Now the Gemara says, we need all three cases. The Yashmi in the Ner, because if we only said the case of a lamp, a light, when he lights a candle, then Mishum de Ner Ele Echad, Ner Lamea, that we would say that the reason why it's permitted for the Jew to use the candle is because a candle for one is a candle for 100, which means to say that since he lit it for himself to be able to read the paper, whatever it is, so then you can't say that he would add anything more for the Jew. There's nothing to even be concerned about that there's any element or aspect here that he's doing for the Jew, because obviously he did it for himself. So one candle is enough for one person, enough for 100 people. So why would it be a problem for the Jew to use it? Avomayim ligzer, but by water I would say that we should make a decree, even when he does it for himself, Dilma Osilafusha Bishvil Yisrael, because maybe he's going to add more water for the Jew. In other words, there's a certain quantity. It's not everyone could have the same candle and use it here, a certain amount of water. So I would have taken out only 1 liter for my own animal. But now I see the Jew, I'll bring out for him also, I'll bring out two. So therefore, maybe there we would not allow the Jew to have enough from it, because although he's doing it for himself, maybe he's adding more also for the Jew. And therefore, even once he fed his animal, you still wouldn't be able to do it. That's why we needed the case of the water, that even there it's mutter once he's doing it for himself. For kevish lomali, but why do I need the third case of the ramp? I mean, that's exactly like the case of the candle, because a ramp for one is a ramp for 100. And therefore, once he did it for himself, there's nothing more he's adding for him, Lil and Zakenim. And that the Gemara says, that was Maisa Dengumlil Zakenim Kamash, since we wanted to bring this incident to illustrate of the heter of the story, that if he did it for himself, then the you're allowed to use it. And to prove that, we had to bring the story of Gamliel Zakenim, which was by a ramp. That's why we brought the third case of the ramp. But really, in halacha, the ramp is equivalent to the case of the candle, which is Ner Le'echad, Ner Le'meya. Once the guy is doing it for himself, it's including everybody. Now the Gemara brings a brisa to explain on Mishnah. Turn Rabban. Nachri Shalikir Asavim. A non-Jew that was gathering grass to feed his animals, Michael achla achra of Yisrael. So then a Jew could feed his animals after the non-Jew. And Rashi tells us that it said specifically that only after the non-Jew can you go ahead and use that grass to feed your animals, because that shows that the non-Jew is doing it for himself. So since he went and he gathered it and then he fed his animals, now you see that he did it for himself. Now you can go ahead and bring your animals and use it also, because obviously he did it for himself, which is permitted. However, v'mishvil Yisrael also, but if he did it for the Jew, he says, here, look, I know it's your Sabbath, I know you can't do anything, so I brought it for you. That's prohibited. You can't ever know from a melacha that a guy is doing for you on Shabbos. Similarly, if he fills up water to give to drink to his animals, then mashka achar v'yisrael. Then afterwards, you saw he did it for himself. Then you can go ahead and have your animals drink from it. V'mishvil Yisrael also. But again, if he's doing it for the Jew and he says, look, I gathered some water for your animals, that would be prohibited like our Mishnah. However, here's where the qualifying factor comes in the Braisa. But when did we say this? That regarding the water, that if he did it for himself, that then the Jew can give his animals to drink afterwards from that same water. If he doesn't recognize, he's not an acquaintance of this Jew, and then he did it for himself, and then afterwards it's in the street, he doesn't care who takes from it, then you can have your animals to take. Ava makiroi aser. But if this guy who's his neighbor, he's an acquaintance with him, and he takes out the water, he draws it from the Rosh Hashanah, and he brings it and his animals drink from it, and he leaves there. Now that Jew cannot go ahead and take from that water. And the Gemara now thinks the reason why is because he obviously intended for his friend also. That's because he knows about all the people that are, you know, his neighbors on his block. And if it's someone that he recognizes that is an acquaintance of him, that we're not allowing him to go ahead and take from it, even if he's taking for his own animal, because maybe he had him in mind also. And that means some element of it was done for the Jew also. And that's considered malacha being done for the Yid. And that's why it would be usur for him to have his animals from it, even after the animal of the goy. But then the Gemara first asks a question. Ini, is it really true that the grass that the guy gathered for his animals would be permitted for the Jew to again go ahead and have his animals eat from it afterwards because it wasn't being done for him? But the problem is there's a different problem over here. V'amar Rav Huna, amar Rav Chanina, he said that Maimon Odom Behemta Agabe Asavim B'Shabbos. A person is allowed to stand his animals on the grass on Shabbos, that is, grass that's attached to the ground. He's allowed to stand there and put his animals there for them to pasture. And we're not concerned that he's going to go ahead and rip it out to go feed his animals, which is going to be over Issa D'Oraisa, pulling out the grass on Shabbos to feed his animals. We're not concerned about that. He obviously knows he's not allowed to rip it out on Shabbos, so he's allowed to stand right there and have his animals eat. However, B'chanina concluded, have a leg of a muktzah b'Shabbos. But however, you cannot stand, put your animal there on top of something that's muktzah on Shabbos. That is for him to pasture over there. And there we are concerned because muktzah is only midrabbanan. So they were concerned that you might come to pick it up and feed it to him. Now, here also, this grass is muktzah regarding moving it because yesterday was attached. So that's included in the category of something that was set aside because it was attached. You couldn't go ahead and use it and move it around. So therefore, just like over there where we say that although you're allowed to put your animal on top of attached grass because we're not concerned you can come to move it. But by muktzah, we're concerned that you might come to pick it up because it's just muktzah. It's not doing a malacha d'oraisa, so therefore we don't let you stand there to have your animal eat. So here also, here this grass that the goy gathered is muktzah. Now how can we let you go ahead and have your animals eat from there if you might come to pick it up? And that should be included in the concern that you might come to pick up the muktzah and therefore you're not allowed to go ahead and feed your animal from this. So although you're right, there's no problem of Amir la'akam here and he's not doing it for you and that's why your animal can eat from it, but you can't be there and stand. So the Gemara says, you're right. The koim loy ba'apu, we're talking about that you stand in front of it, that you make sure it won't, your animal shouldn't move away anywhere but one direction. Vaz lehiv achla, and the animal goes on itself and it goes to eat. But you're right, we're talking about that the person over here, the yid, is not standing on the grass and that is nearby it because we are concerned that he might come to pick it up and feed it to his animal because it's detached. So you're right, we are concerned about standing near muktzah, but we're not talking about that you're standing right there. You're standing in the direction where the animal has nowhere to go but to the food. That is why we said that it's permitted. But now the Gemara goes back to discuss this. We mentioned before, when did we say that the water is permitted for him to give to his animal after that the non-Jew had already used it for his own animal? Because again, that means he wasn't doing it for the Jew, he's doing it for himself, and that's mutter. The Braisa says that's only she'in makir. That's only if he's not an acquaintance with him, he's not familiar with him. Of a makiri aser. But if he is familiar with him, that is aser. Because then we say that maybe that he did it for him also, and that would be a problem of a malacha being done for a Jew, that we say it's concluded in the malacha of Amir La'akim, that you can't have enough from it. Now the question is, HaRim Gamliel, Makir Hava, but the case of our Mishnah, Rim Gamliel was an acquaintance. He did recognize Rim Gamliel, the one who made the ramp, because they were all coming together on the same ship. Now, if you're telling me that although when it's something that's being done for the guy himself, that it's mutter for the Jew to use it, only if he doesn't know about the Jew. But if he knows that he's going to need to use it also, like the case of the water, then it's usur. Now, why is there any difference in the case of our Mishnah, which we said that he's making the ramp, but he knew everybody has to get down also. And yet we say, Mlil said that it's a lot, that they were able to do it, and they actually walked down on that ramp. And to this, the Gemara gives two approaches. Amar Abaye, Shaloi b'fanav hava. It's talking about the case of Rimli in the Mishnah. On the ship was told that it wasn't in front of him. That is when the guy made the ramp, Rimli wasn't there. He was in his room. He was downstairs. So therefore, he didn't have him in mind when he did it. That's why they were able to use it. Because this whole concern of Makiro is that if he knows him, and therefore he's going to do it for him also. But here, it wasn't a daite. He wasn't thinking about Rimli because he wasn't around. That's why he was permitted to use it. Rav Amar, Rav gives a different approach. You can even say Rimli was right there when he was making it. He knew about him and still was mutter for them to go down. Why is it? Why is it any different than the case of the water where we say that the Jew can't use it because of makira? Because ner le'echad, ner le'meya. Because a candle for one is a candle for 100. Which is similar to over here. A ram for one is a ram for 100. But by the grasses where he recognizes him and he knows about him, then we're concerned that he's going to be marbe b'shvilo. He's going to gather more grass. He's going to gather more water for the Jew. That's why it's usur. It's not because he's having him also in mind. That doesn't make a difference because he's ultimately doing it for himself. And the fact that he's having other 99 people in mind doesn't make a difference because it's the same one action that he would need for himself anyway. But regarding the grass and the water where it's quantity, where the more people uses it, it gets used up, then you would have to have more for people. Then we're concerned that maybe he's going to add more for his Jewish neighbor, for the one that he knows, his friend Moshe. Then we say that it's going to be usur because dad is concerned that he's going to add more for him. That's the two approaches of Abaye saying no. It's an idea that you have to not be there because if you are there, then even by a candle or a ramp would be a problem because it would have him in mind. And the Rebbe says, no, we're not concerned about that because ultimately he's doing it for himself. And the fact that someone else is included is not no action that's being included more. It's only concerned by water and by grasses where there you're going to have to add more. Then we say, but the case of Galil was the same ramp for one, same ramp for 100. Then the Gemara asked on Rav's opinion, Meisvei, Amalem Ram Gamliel. We learned in the Brisa regarding the story that we spoke about, Ram Gamliel on the ship coming down the ramp, an extended version of this story. Ram Gamliel told to the Zakenim, now, Hail Vishalobi Fenenu Asa, since he made the ramp not in front of us, Neridboy, let's go down. And therefore, from the Brisa, you see, not like Rav. Because you see that if it would have been done in front of them, then it would have been usur. Even though there's no Marbe Bishvilo, there's nothing more that he would do for them than what he's doing for himself. He has to make the same ramp. So therefore you see like Abaye, that it's only because he's not there when you're making it, then he's not going to be thinking about it. But according to Rava, it should be muti even if it's in front of them. And that the Gemara says, Eima hoilva asoy. The way you should understand the statement from Gamliel was, since he made it, Neridboy, let's go down in it. In other words, the concept, what he was saying really was, once he made it, it's ner le'echad, ner le'meya. It's kevish le'echad, kevish le'meya. And that is, the reason wasn't because we weren't there. Rather, that's just how this story was. In other words, there he was saying it since he made it when we weren't there. But the main idea wasn't because we weren't there. It was because since he made it, you know, we weren't there. But look, he made it. Now, once he made it, it's done. It's a ram for one. It's a ram for 100. So there's no yarba b'shvil. There's nothing more he did for us. That's why we're allowed to go down in it. But it wasn't the main idea because we weren't there. Tashmash, the Gemara brings a braisa that seems to be not like Abaye, not like Rav. We learned Irshi Yisrael v'nachrim daran b'teich regarding a city that Jews and non-Jews live in that city. And there was a bathhouse that was that people would bathe in on Shabbos. It was owned by a non-Jew and it was heated up. So the halacha is imrei v'nachrim. If most of the inhabitants of the city are non-Jews, then mutar lirchatz b'miyad. Then the Jew can go ahead on Matzah Shabbos right after Shabbos, the second after the Zman, and go ahead and bathe himself in that bath. But in Revi Yisrael, but if the most of the people in that city are Jews, then you have to wait for the amount of time that it would take for the bath to be heated up to the heat that you, that's how normally the bathhouse is. And why is that? So you shouldn't have you shouldn't have pleasure from this that they went and warmed it up on Shabbos, which was for you. And the same thing applies to every what's called Maisa Shabbos, any forbidden activity, which would heating up a bath is a forbidden activity on Shabbos. Chacham gave a measurement that you would have to wait to, in the evening time, the amount of time that it would take for that activity to be done, that you shouldn't have a na from the forbidden activity that was done on Shabbos. Now, here is a difficulty, both according to Rava and according to Abaye. Because here, the one heating that's done for one is the same heating that's necessarily for 100. In other words, even if the majority of people are Jews, but whoever is coming, the one non-Jew in the city, they have to heat it up for him anyway. Now, heating up for one is the same for 100. So, according to Rava's opinion, right away, that should be enough of a reason to say that it's not forbidden to use it right after Shabbos, even if the majority of the people are Jews. Now, we learned if most of them are Jews, which is similar to the case of Makiroi, that he recognizes him, that you're thinking to do it also because of him, that it's forbidden. Again, yet in spite of the fact that it's Ner Lecha, Ner Lemea, Chimim Le'echad, Chim Lemea, warming up for one, the same as 100. And here also we're talking about that the Jews are not there. They're in shul, they're wherever they are. They're not in the bathhouse. Now, according to Abaya, that enough should be a reason why also it should be mutter, because although he's doing it and he has someone that he recognizes, but if he's not there, out of sight, out of mind, he's not having him in mind. So therefore, both according to Rava and according to Abaya, even if the majority of the people are Jews, which is considered like someone that I know about him, obviously I know about most of the people in the city, but for the one person that's being done at one time anyway, so you take care of Rava's concern, and the fact of Abaya's concern that if the person's only here, then we're saying he's doing it for him, but if he's not here, he's not going to have in mind, why is it usher after Shabbos, b'chdei shi'asa? Why do you have to wait? Why can't you go in the mikvah right away, in the bathhouse, right after Shabbos? What would be the why would be the reason that it's usher? That the Gemara says, hasam over there by the bathhouse, that's different. Although it sounds similar to the case that we said, it's different. Ki mechamami adaita derubim mechamami. Because it's a commercial venture. That is, when they're warming it up, they're warming it up for the majority of the people of the city. And therefore, the Iker Chil Shabbos here was being done for the Jews. But when you have a non-Jew and a Jew, a Nachar and Yisrael, when the non-Jew is doing it for himself, then according to Abaye, it's mutter when he's not there, because ultimately he's doing it for himself. To say that he's also having the Jew in mind, well, that's only if he's here. If he's not here, I'm not thinking about the Jew. And according to Rav, it's mutter even if he's here, because it doesn't make a difference. Once I do one act, including that act of the one warming up would include for 100 people. So even if the Jew's right here and I'm having him in mind, it's still no extra activity that's being done. But by the bathhouse, the commercial bathhouse, now the one who owns it, he's not even doing it for himself. He's having in mind for his customers, his consumers. Now, who's the majority of the consumers? The rave, we always go after the majority, are the Jews. I am warming it up for the Jews. And that's why it's prohibited Matzah Shabbos until B'chdei Shi'asa, because he's having them in mind. It's not the same as when he's doing it for himself, where the main action is being done for himself. So Tashma, the Gemara brings a similar type of brisa that would seem difficult according to Rava. Said, Ner Hadolik bin Mesibah, regarding a candle that was lit at a party at a big meal. So Imrav Nachrim, if most of the people eating at that meal were non-Jews on Shabbos, Mutal Lisham Shlay, then the Jews that are the minority can use it because again it's being done for the majority, and the majority are non-Jews. Imrav Yisrael, but if most of the people are Jewish, also then forbidden, although a non-Jew did it, but he was doing it for the majority of the people. And even more so, Mechza Mechza Asa, even if half it's 50-50, still we would say that it's going to be prohibited, and saying that there's a possibility that it's being done for the Jews because it's half and half. So the problem is over here, where it's similar to the case of Makiroi, of that, you know, there are non-Jews that are being done for, but there's also Jews that are acquaintances, obviously, they're all eating together. And since they're the majority, we say that they're doing it also for the Jews, because obviously, if they're majority, you're doing it for them also. Now, and still we say that it's forbidden. Now, that's difficult according to Rava, because Ner Le'echa, Ner Le'meya. There's the non-Jews is the one that's lighting it. So he's doing it for himself. He's doing it for the non-Jews. Now, obviously, we're also having in mind the Jews because they're even the majority at the party. So obviously, they're here and we're doing it for them. But that's similar to the case of Makiroi, where I recognize him. Now, Rava said by Makiroi, where he's an acquaintance, where I'm obviously having him in mind, but if it's not Shema Yarbe Bishvili, if there's nothing more that I'm going to do for him than what I'm doing anyways myself, so then it's going to be mutter. Now, here by the candle, once a candle has to be lit for even the non-Jew himself, now, the fact that it's also being done for the majority of the people which are Jews doesn't make a difference. There's nothing more being done for them. So why is it asr? And that the Gemara says, Hasim Nami, they're also similar to that what we said before regarding the bathhouse. Ki Madliki, when the non-Jew is lighting, we continue on to Amud Beis, Adaita Deruba Madliki. We're talking about a non-Jew that he's the host. He's lighting it for the participants, not for himself. So who is he lighting it for? He's lighting it for the majority, and therefore, since the Jews are the majority, they're the ikker, they're the main principles, and therefore, that he's doing it for them, and that's why it's us for them to use it, because it's being done adaita d'Yisrael. And Rashi says, similarly, when they're half and half, you can't, it's not definitive, it's not clear. You could say that maybe the main reason why he's doing it is for the Jews, or you could say that maybe the main reason he's doing it for the non-Jews. So therefore, since it's not clear, we have to be concerned that maybe it's for the Jews, and again, that it's usher to have enough from a malacha that a nachri, that an akim is doing for you on Shabbos. But again, what we said before, regarding a non-Jew and a Jew, when the one who's lighting it will use it himself, then of course it's adaiti didei, that he's doing it for himself, for his own purpose. And then Rava would be correct. Ner le'echa, ner le'mei, of course it's going to be mutter. But here we're talking about where he's a host, he's not doing it for himself. A host does it for the majority of the people. They're the main concerns that he's having in mind. Since the main are the Jews, he's doing it for them. But of course, if he's doing it for himself, then we're not concerned that even if the majority are the people are Jewish, it still would be mutter, because once he's doing it for himself, there's no more action of the candle being done for the other people, which in this case would be the Jews. So the Gemara brings a story to illustrate this. Shmuel iklo lebei Oven Turin. Shmuel went to the house of Oven, who lived in Turin. Asahu nachri adlik shraga. So a non-Jew came. He saw people sitting around. He knows they can't light it. He lit a candle for them. So hadrin the Shmuel ape. Shmuel turned his face away because he didn't want to have a nah, because it seems like maybe the non-Jew was lighting it for him, and he was concerned that you can't have a nah from locha that a non-Jew does for you on Shabbos. However, kiven the chazad the icy starve kakar. But once he saw that the non-Jew brought a document and he was reading, he brought the paper, whatever it is, and the one who lit it was having pleasure from it himself. Oh, Amar Adaita de Nafshihu da Adlik. He lit it for himself. Adrina Ihu la'ape gabishragas. And then he turned his face back to the candle, because once he's doing it for himself, that's the concept of Ner Lecha Ner Lamei. He didn't do anything more for me, although maybe he even had me in mind, but that doesn't make a difference, because once he's lighting it for himself, as we see, he took out a paper, so then there's no problem for me to have enough from it. It was nothing more. There's no Shemeyarba Bishvil over here. So even if I'm Makira, he knows I'm around, he knows who I am, it's going to be mutter. It's not a malacha being done for the Jew. We shall return to you the 16th parak of Masechta Shabbos, parak Kol Kisvei. Now we begin the 17th parak of Masechta Shabbos, parak Kol Akel. And this parak talks about the concepts of muktzah, of things set aside, which is a rabbinic prohibition to move certain items that weren't specially prepared for Shabbos. And that's where our mission begins. Kol Akel Nitol B'Shabbos. All vessels are allowed to be moved on Shabbos. There's no problem. They're not muktzah. And V'dal Saseh Nimon, their doors are included with them also. And that is, there are certain vessels that have doors, for example, a carriage or a box or a closet, that they could be moved on Shabbos. The closet, the doors can also be, and even Ava Pishon is Baruch, even if they were detached, the doors were detached from the vessels, still they could be moved. And that is, She'en Doim L'Dal Sabayis, because they're not comparable to the doors of a house, which cannot be moved once they're detached from the house. L'fi She'enim in the Muchen, because the doors of a house are not considered prepared to move it, because they're not considered a kli, they're not a vessel. But these doors from these vessels, they are considered a vessel through the medium of their vessel, even if they, when they're not attached to it. So therefore, you're always allowed to move the doors of these vessels, even if they're not attached. And they don't have a Isra of Muktza on them. So now the Mishnah continues with different items that, although they might seem like possibly that they're muktzah, but for tzairich, for a purpose, they're allowed to be moved. The Mishnah says, "Noitel adam kurnis." A person is allowed to take a hammer, lefatzeya b'yisagaisin, to crack open nuts. And again, since cracking open nuts is mutter on Shabbos, you're allowed to take a hammer to crack it open. Similarly, kardim lachtach b'yisadveilu, you could take a hatchet to cut open a bunch of pressed figs, and that is, since you make it into this round cake of pressed figs, it becomes very thick and it's hard to break it like a round thing of cheese, and therefore you need a hatchet to cut it. You're allowed to use a hatchet to do that, to cut open the pressed figs. Similarly, you're allowed to take a megera logger besagvin, you're allowed to take a saw to cut open a thing of cheese, which it's to cut and to slice it open, because the saw goes very quickly because of the round cake of cheese is very thick. Similarly, magrefa logrif as a bayas agregris, you're allowed to take a shovel to shovel out the dried figs from the barrel. Es areches as a mazlig, you're allowed to take a winnowing shovel and a pitchfork, losses love the cotton, to put on it to give a child food to give him to eat. Es hakush ves hakarker, you're allowed to take a spindle and a weaver's reed, latchev boy, to stick in on it, to eat things that are soft, like soft fruit or strawberries. You're allowed to use it as like a toothpick to stick it on and to eat it. You're allowed to take a mechachal yad, you're allowed to take a hand needle, which is a very small needle which they use to sew up clothing, little boy sakoitz, to take out a splinter. Vishal sakoim, and you're allowed to take the sackcloth type of a needle, which is very large that they use to sew up sacks. Liftoich vesadel is to use to open up a door, and that is someone that lost his key. You can use it as a pick to open up the door. So all these items that possibly are things that are not to be moved on Shabbos, however, for the purposeful activities which are permitted to do on Shabbos, you're allowed to use these items to do it on Shabbos, and they're not also because of muktzah. So now Agmor goes to discuss and explain the first item of our Mishnah. We started off the Mishnah, kol hakelim nitol, all vessels could be moved, The afapishan is broken with Shabbos, and even though the door was broken off on Shabbos, still you're allowed to go ahead and move the door because of the consideration that it's considered a part of the kli. It has the same kli because of its attachment to the kli, even when it's not attached. So the inference is, even if it got detached on Shabbos, definitely I wouldn't have to tell you that if it got detached on Erev Shabbos during the weekday, that for sure you can move the door. Now the Gemara thinks, when it says v'afapishin isparku, that even if it broke off, it got detached, that it was going back on this that it said on Shabbos, that it said in the first part of the Mishnah. And the inference was that even though it broke off today on Shabbos, it's mutter to move the door, and definitely I wouldn't have to tell you if it broke off from before Shabbos. Now the question with that is adarabba, to the contrary. What it doesn't make sense to say afalpi, that even so, that in other words, to the contrary, if it breaks off on Shabbos, then you could say that the door would be mutter to move, because when Shabbos started, which is always the area by Bein HaShemashes, which is what is kaveh, what establishes if an item is muktzah or not. Now, when Shabbos started, it was prepared to be moved because it was attached to the keli. So, of course, you can move it because the keli is mutter. However, b'Shabbos, as the Gemara says, b'Shabbos muchan lagabe yavin. Regarding Shabbos, if that's when it got detached, so it was considered prepared through its father, which was the keli, which is a secondary to, and that's because when Shabbos started, it was permitted to move. But regarding the weekday, if it was already detached before Shabbos, then we should say it's muktzah, because it wasn't prepared. Once Shabbos started, it was detached from it, and we don't see it as part of the keli, and therefore it should be muktzah. So what are you saying, that afapi, that even though it broke off on Shabbos, that then it's not going to be considered muktzah, which sounds like, but for sure, if it broke off on the weekday, that it's not going to be muktzah. It's not true. Shabbos makes more sense to say that it is not muktzah, and therefore maybe during the weekday, it would be muktzah. So what's afalpi? And that the Gemara says, this is the way you're supposed to read this phrase of our Mishnah. Kalakelim nitalim b'Shabbos. Every vessel could be moved on Shabbos, they're not muktzah. And also the same thing would include v'dalsaseinimon, and their doors could be moved with them. Afapishin is sparku, even if it got detached. Now that's b'chol, even if it was during the weekday, nitalim b'Shabbos, it could still be taken on Shabbos. And that is, when it said in the Mishnah of afalpi, even so, it wasn't going back on the chiddush if it broke off on Shabbos. Rather, the chiddush is that it broke off in general, whether during the weekday or in Shabbos, and we don't have to say that when it's attached, for sure you can move the door. So again, so when we read in our Mishnah, kol ha'kelim nitalim b'Shabbos, all vessels can be moved on Shabbos, v'dal sasein imon, and their doors with them, afapishin is sparku, even if it breaks off, that doesn't say that even if it breaks off on Shabbos, which is the case that we're talking about moving on Shabbos. Rather, the words are independent, even if it breaks off even during the weekday. And that is, the concept is that even though it's not attached, for sure if it was attached, but even afapishin is parku, it's mutter to move. But again, yes, it would make more sense to say that if it breaks on Shabbos, it's not going to be muktzah, because when Shabbos started, it was still attached. But the halach is that even if it got detached on Erev Shabbos, doesn't make a difference when it got detached. We're still going to view it as part of the keli even when it's detached, and therefore it's not muktzah. On this theme, the Gemara brings a brayso, so turn our button. Delos shel sheda v'shel teva v'shel migdal. Regarding the door of a carriage, of a box, of a closet, noitlin, it's allowed to be taken, and it's mashma that it means that you could even take it off from the socket on Shabbos. You could detach it, but you can't put it back into the sockets on Shabbos. However, shalul shel tanagalim, regarding a chicken coop, and this is the building which is made for where the chickens live, loy noitlin, loy machzin. You're not allowed to take it, and you're not allowed to put it back. As the Gemara later is going to explain, because putting it back is actually building it, and taking it away is considered stira, destroying the building, which both are obvious malachas to do on Shabbos. So now the Gemara discusses these two cases about the closet and the box in contrast to the chicken coop. Bishleim shalul shel tanagalim. I understand regarding the chicken coop that kesaver, he held, kiven de mechabri ba'aris, since it is attached to the ground, so yesh binya b'karka and yesh dir b'karka. That, since it's attached, that's like a regular building, therefore it's considered building it when you put it back in, it's considered destroying it when you take the door off. So that's why it's us above them. Elo shel sheidu v'shel tev v'shel migdal ma'kesaver. But what does he hold regarding the carriage, the box, and the closet, where there he says that, yeah, it's permitted to take it off, but it's forbidden to put it back? What's the difference? As the Gemara explains, if he holds that there's a problem, it's considered building regarding the vessels, and that's why he says putting it back would be usur. So then obviously, if you say that it's considered binyan, then it would be stira if you take the door off. So why are you allowed to take the door off? As the Gemara says, so then yesh stira b'kelim also. So then there's also a problem about destroying it. Why are you allowed to take it off? And ve'i ain't stira b'kelim. If you say there's no problem about destroying regarding kelim, it's only regarding a building, that we say that's considered the melacha of binyan or stira. However, by Kalim, there's no promise here, and that's why you're allowed to take it off. So then, ain't bin mekim. So also, then there's no problem about building by Kalim, by vessels. And therefore, you should be able to even put the door of the closet back in, because it's not attached, it's not something from the ground, it's a vessel. And the vessel, you tell me, there is no steer, so therefore, there's no binyan. I'm Abaya. Abaya says, "Lo'olam k'sava yesh bin b'kelim, v'yesh steer b'kelim." You're right. In truth, he holds that there is a problem of building and steer and unbuilding and breaking regarding vessels. However, so why are you allowed to take the door off? He says, "No, I never said you're allowed to take the door off." V'shenitlu kama. The word was and that was taken off, and that is, it was saying that regarding the door of a box or a carriage or a closet that was taken off. That was saying one halacha of ein makasin, you can't put it back on. But of course, you can't take it off either, because that would be considered stira, which applies to kelim also. So Amalei Rava, Rava says to Abaye, shtei tshuvas b'davar. I have two complaints, two problems with the pshat you're saying. Chada dinitala gitani. First of all, the words doesn't say shen nitlu. It says nitala, which is saying that you could take it off. And the second problem, v'oid, my avoloi makasin, then what would make sense to say, but you can't put it back? In other words, if it's only saying one halacha, it doesn't make sense to say aval, but. It's not but, it's the one thing. The door that was taken off, you can't put it back. What's avoloi makasin? So Elam HaRavah, rather Ravah says, k'saver ain binyan b'kelim, v'ain steer b'kelim. Rather, it's not true. He holds that there is no building by vessels, and there's no destroying by vessels. And therefore, that's why you're allowed to take it. So why can't you put it back? That's Issa Midrabanan. Because that's the decree, because we're concerned when you're putting it back in, you might stick it in really tight, really strong, with a knife and with pegs, and that's going to be considered the completion of the malacha. You're going to be completing the vessel that way. And that would be a liability of makah b'patash. Anytime you complete an item, even a vessel, although it's not building, because building only applies to something that's attached to the ground, and there's no binyan and steer b'kelim. However, there's a problem of finishing off the product. You're going to be sticking it in and doing it so well that it's going to be considered as if you completed the product. That's what we're concerned for that, and that's why we don't let you put it back. Even though Midrash is mutar, but Midrabanan, we're concerned for that, and that's why it's us to put it back. Now the Gemara continues discussing the Mishnah, that it said, Noitlad Mkurnis, it said all these different cases of that you could take a hammer or a hatchet or a shovel, and you can use it for things which are permitted on Shabbos. So the first case was, Noitlad Mkurnis V'chul, a person could take a hammer, and he can use it to break open a nut. So there's a machlokes in the Gemara, exactly what type of hammer are we talking about that's permitted to be used for breaking the nut. I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Kurnis Shalak Gaisin, we're talking about a hammer of nuts, and that is, we're talking about a hammer that was designated to use to break open nuts. And then you could use it, lefatzeya by a segeizim, to break open the nuts. In other words, only there did the Mishnah tell us that you could use it for that malacha of breaking open the nuts, because the ikr malacha of this hammer was designated for a permitted activity of Shabbos, which is breaking open nuts is permitted to do on Shabbos. So this hammer, which is designated, this is the one I always leave in my nut drawer to break it open. Such a hammer could be used to break open the nuts. Avashal nafach in light. But a blacksmith's hammer, that you're not allowed to use. That is, since the ikr malach of that hammer is designated generally for something that's prohibited activity on Shabbos, which is what a blacksmith does, that hammer, even for a permitted activity of using to break open the nuts, it cannot be moved on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, because k'savar davish ha-malach de le'issa, because he held that it's something that's considered, that it's designated, its main activity is something of that's prohibited to do on Shabbos, which is the blacksmith's hammer, which is used to do an activity that's asr on Shabbos, even if it's being used for its own essence, it's still going to be us. In other words, even if you need the actual hammer to be used for a different malacha that's permitted, which is here in this case is breaking open the nuts, you still can't move the hammer for that activity. And definitely what he's saying here is that if it's not being moved for its own purpose of the hammer, rather it's only being used, what's called a tzarech mekaymai, for the place where it's taking up, there for sure you can't move it. And that is, there's three important concepts we're talking about over here. We're talking about davash malach delis, something that's used generally for something that's prohibited. The blacksmith's hammer is generally used for something prohibited. That item, this Amanda Amr is saying that it not only cannot be moved, letzerich mekoyme, which is for the place that it takes up. Let's say I want to sit on a chair, and this blacksmith's hammer is there. I can't move it because it's something that's used generally for something that's prohibited activity. So it's mukta, and I can't pick it up just so I can use its space. But even moreover, he holds, I can't even use it for the hammer's purpose itself. That is, if let's say I want to use the hammer to crack open nuts, which is permitted, I still can't move that hammer because since it's a davash, a malach de l'isser, it can't be moved, not mekaymai, not letzerich mekaymai, and not letzerich gufi, not even to use it, the hammer itself, for something that's permitted. But Amalei Rabbah, but Rabbah said to him, El miyata, safe for the ton, but if you look at the safe which said, Vesarachas, Vesamazlik, regarding the, you can use the winnowing shovel and the pitchfork, losses love the cotton to give a child food with it. Now, Rachas Umalgis, Mimi after Leila Cotton. Do you ever have a winnowing shovel or a pitchfork that designated just for a child? In other words, all the case of the Mishnah, you're right, we can establish the way you were trying to say, that it's with this hammer, it was designated just for breaking open nuts. And this hatchet was used just for the case of pressed figs. And the shovel was used for the dried figs. You can say it that way, and that's why you would interpret and say that's why you're allowed to move it on Shabbos. However, is there ever a case where a child is having it designated to this winnowing shovel being used just for to give a child to feed? That doesn't make sense. No one does it. No one designates it just for the child. And therefore we see, in spite of the fact that it's not designated for the child, it is something that's used generally for an activity of Isser. Still, it's mutter to use it for a permitted activity on Shabbos. So therefore, Elam Rabba, rather Rabba argues, and he says a second pshat. He says, Kernan shel nafachin. We're talking about a hammer of a blacksmith. Still, lefatzeh bo yasa geizin, that you're allowed to use it to break open the nuts, that is permitted. And as the Gemara says, k'savar, because he holds davish malach de leiser, that an item that is generally used for a prohibited activity, which is what a blacksmith uses for, still it's tzarech guf v'mutter. If you're using it for the hammer's purpose itself, not just to use the place where the hammer is taking up, but if you're using it for its own purpose, where in this case is to use it for breaking open the nuts, then you're allowed to move it on Shabbos again if it's for a Shabbos purpose. For permitted activity, in spite of the fact that it's a hammer that's generally designated just for Isser, which is a blacksmith's hammer, still he argues and he says that the case of our mission that said you're allowed to use a hammer to break open the nuts is even a malachti le'Isser type of hammer, a hammer that's generally used from a blacksmith. Still, because since today it's being used for a malachas heter, for breaking open the nuts, you're allowed to move it on Shabbos, and there's no problem of muktzah.